Guys, we commence
last class on overcome depression, but we go into that because yesterday I was talking to some members and they feel maybe I confuse you guys about one true God, right? So let me ask you questions that so you don't be confused. Okay? First, we do not use the word Trinity because the word Trinity is not biblical, right? It's not biblical. So when I tell you under time and space, what does that mean, under time and space? Okay, when Jesus in flesh. But what happened from the beginning? When is time and what does it mean, time and space? Yes. Yes, the physical dimension, right? The material dimension. Okay? So if you go beyond time and space, right? Beyond time and space, what is that? Another word? Spirit. Okay, spirit. So in the spirit, who is God in the spirit? In the spirit, who is God? Huh? In the spirit, who is God? Yeah, but who is he? Yes. In the spirit, God is Jesus. But under time and space, God incarnate, right? He come into the flesh for 33 years. Even though he come to the flesh in 33 years, he was limited. But in spirit, he's still God. Do you understand? So in spirit, Jesus, always God until eternity. Actually, there's no time and space. So there's no beginning, there's no end. So that's why I just quite say, look, actually, he is an Alpha and Omega, right? The beginning and the last, but also he has no father and mother. So now with him being God is eternal. Okay? You guys understand that? So even though Jesus Christ, okay, let's go to the book of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3. The book of John chapter 3. Look at verse 313. 3:13, the book of John. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Right? So here, what is he talking about, beyond time and space or under time and space? Yes. Oh, yes. Beyond. Look at closely. Read again closely. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Is this beyond time and space? Huh? Under? It's both. You understand? When is under time and space? When is under time and space? What? Huh? You know what I'm saying? In this sentence. Yes, he said he ascended, right? He ascended from heaven as Son of Man. Then when does he talk beyond time and space? Yes, before and after. You get it? Look, he said, I'm on earth. I incarnate. The Son of Man is on earth. He's also where? Yes, also in heaven, you understand? The Son of Man. I mean, who can be two places at the same time? That's why I say no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So he sit in both places. Okay. So no matter what, beyond time and space, in the spiritual realm, Jesus is God from the beginning till the end. There's no end, actually. There's no beginning. It's just eternal. Okay, you guys get that? Hello? Yes. Okay. But when he incarnated for that 33 years, he was limited. But he's still God, but also he's human. When you talk under time and space, in the material world, he's limited. Beyond time and space, he's not. So when brother asked me a question, so does that mean Trinity is in there? When the Trinitarians say, look, God is not equal to Jesus, and Jesus is not equal to God, right? So they're talking about what? Beyond or under time and space? Yes, under time and space. So that's why I say yes, when the Trinitarian talk like that, then you know. Actually, we also agree, you understand? But the problem with them, they also bring that beyond time and space, and that's the problem. So they think that Jesus is only the Son of God, even though they go to eternal life. No, Jesus is God himself. Okay? So don't use the word Trinitarians or Trinity. But when they talk to you about Jesus, because they have a triangle, right? Inside the triangle, everything is equal. And outside the triangle, like outside, everything is not equal. That's why I separate the two for you, right, at each side. So one is beyond time and space in the spiritual realm, and one is under time and space. This means in the material world. So when you be able to separate these two, then you understand about one true God. But the Trinitarians, they cannot separate the two. They are confused. But when they talk to you about God, and then you know, oh, when they say this, you know, in the spiritual realm, when they say this, it's under time and space. Okay? Any question, please don't go around and say, Preacher Booty, believe in the Trinity. No, okay? The GA going to fire me, go around and say that. They excommunicate me, right? Okay? Okay. No questions, right? So make sure you guys understand, okay? Understand. Don't be confused. Okay, treatment for depression. Medication, right? Medication for relieving symptoms, they include antidepressants and are usually administered through trial and error to see which medication and dosage are beneficial to a particular patient. So when using trial and error, what's wrong with the trial and error? Trial and error. Before you be able to find the medication, those that are beneficial to a particular patient, then what happened? There's a lot of error. You know, some of my patients, of course, they're women, and they would lose all their hair. So you just go like this, and the hair would just come out. Because the medication, it's not, it doesn't fit them well. So that's why, unless you really feel psychotic, and really, really feel like you cannot live in this world anymore. Of course, you can try medication, but medication is the least advice that we want you guys to do, right? But if you really need to, it's okay. Why? Because the medication also can balance your chemical in your brain. Yes?
Is it true that some antidepressants hinder the patient's ability to express emotion, like they subdue every emotion?
Yes. Because antidepressant, why? Because they want to depress your mood, right? If you're depressed, but sometimes make them even more depressed. And sometimes actually make them worse. All the symptoms of a person is depressed, when you take the antidepressant, sometimes it makes you even exaggerate all those symptoms that you have. So that's why you must take the right one, right? Yes? Yes, of course. The side effect, it varies, right? Of course, some patients, they want to commit suicide. Why take an antidepressant, right? So that's why quite often people say, look, you know, why that person killed that other person and why they do this, why they do that, you know, and why did they kill themselves, something like that. But quite often, if you're on antidepressant and you stop taking it, then actually it's really, really bad for you. So that's why, oh, that person is antidepressant, that's why he killed the people. No. Quite often you look deeper, they came off the medication. Because they came off the medication, and then they, you know, pretty much exaggerate their symptoms or their mood or their depression. But of course, none of us really should not take any kind of medication, really. I mean, you need to have faith and pray, but if you really need to, you do it. Why you do it? Because some medication is good to balance the chemical imbalance in your brain. Just like, you know, some of us, for example, you know, as ministers, we travel and stuff a lot. And the best thing for us to do if we don't, you know, because we get tired, we get sick, So we want to drink something, have a lot of electrolytes in it, right? But for Gatorade, it's too much sugar too, in it, right? So now I get smart water. Because smart water have electrolytes, but without those sugars and things like that, right? So, but there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing really bad for my body. But medication, of course, is more severe than that, right? I mean, you know, there's a Chinese herbalist in Houston, right? And I have migraine and stuff, so he wanted to help me out. And the medication he gave me to drink is like Drano. You know Drano, right? You put it in the toilet. It's so disgusting. It's so smelly. I mean, when I drink it, like, oh, this is the worst. I mean, really. I'm sure urine tastes better. That's how bad it is. I never tasted urine, but I'm sure it tastes better than that. It's really just so, and then it's the aftertaste too, right? After you drink it, it stays in your mouth forever, forever. But of course, it helped a lot of people. Because he was helping one of the guy that my mother knows in Boston, and he had been having migraines since he was a young kid. He never go one day without having migraine. But when this brother actually wrote, you know, tell him to go buy this, buy that, and then he drank it, and he went 5 days without migraine, right? But the thing is, first, it costs money, and insurance don't pay for it. Second, it tastes super, super bad. So, but, you know, that is a side effect, right? But if you be able to taste, if you feel like it, you might think about it, I want to throw up, really. It tastes really bad. Yeah. So, but those things is all very natural, right? Very natural. Psychotherapy. Talking with a trained therapist can be effective in treating certain depression. Actually, psychotherapy, it's very helpful because quite often that you just go and you talk. Especially when a person has some kind of trauma. Because a trauma will alter the way you think about certain situation. For example, most patients has trauma. If they hear any like kind of loud noise, right, they get what? It will trigger the trauma. So it's good that if you be able to go to talk to someone, especially when you feel sad, right? When you feel sad, when you feel depressed, you go talk to someone. Of course, we hope that our church pastors and deacons and deaconess can really help to talk. Because to talk things out is very important. For example, I give you an example. One of my patient, he had PTSD and also major depression. So every time I talk with him, and we get to this, get this time frame that he was fishing with his friend. When he was fishing with his friend, that's a time he cannot talk anymore about it. And I always wonder, okay, why? Because when he talk about his friend, he starts shaking, and he gets all scared and stuff like that, right? And then we work for months, talk, and finally, we get to the point where he tells a story about him and his friend fishing. Then one of the communists came and just used a machete and cut his friend's head off, right? And right beside him like that. So he's so traumatized, that's why he's mine. So he finally be able to tell me that story. Then afterward, he's fine. Right? Of course, we do, sometimes we do hypnosis and stuff like that too. But for PTSD, trauma is very dangerous. Sometimes when you bring them there, you can't bring them back out, and you'll be in big trouble. Where sometimes patients, you know, they're so traumatized, they think they're in, you know, still in the war and things like that, they would run around trying to kill people in a clinic. So quite often, those who are very severe in PTSD, I don't sit at my desk. I sit next to the door with the door open, and they sit inside. And also the therapist underneath the desk, they always a bell. But some of them, they're just too fast, and especially for women, right? You can't protect yourself in the things like that. Of course, we have all kind of, you know, crazy people inside there, right? So that's why it's important that you, when you talk it out, right? Yes, some of you, when you're angry at your parents, for example, right? And sometimes you don't know why you're angry at your parents. You just feel that you do. Actually, there's must something that happened previously that your parents did to you and you feel is unjust, you are upset with them. So you need to find out. The way to find out is to talk to a therapist. And then you have to straighten that out. You have to straighten that out. Because when your parents do something to you when you are young, even though you feel you don't remember anything, but it's affect your conscience? And why you feel so irritated when your mom say this? Why you feel like, you know, when you see your mom, you just feel like you don't want to talk to her, right? There's a lot of unresolved issues in the past. And that's why you need to work it out, right? You need to work it out. Of course, the best person to talk to is Jesus, obviously, right? Jesus, the answer of everything. But sometimes when you and I are so depressed, so sick, and we cannot talk to Jesus, we must talk to, right, the people who's closer to Jesus. That is our brothers and sisters, the pastors, and deacons and deaconess. Okay? Any question on this at all? Any question? Okay. Next one. Oh, yes.
If you talk to someone about that stuff and they're untrained, like they're just your average friend,
yes,
is it possible that they can make a mistake which worsens your
friend? Yes, of course. Yeah. That's very important, right? Because when you go and just talk to your friends has no idea about depression, right? They have no idea what you went through. They just sit there and just tell you, do this, do that. It can make it worse. It can make it worse. For example, if you have a friend who is pregnant, right? And then you go talk to your friend, that's not a believer. They talk to a dear friend and say, what should I do, right? What do they tell you to do? What do you think your friends tell you to do? Huh? What do you think they would say for that pregnant girl to do? Yes, to go have an abortion. If you have this baby, you're going to ruin your life. You're only 15 years old, right? If you have to go, just fine. You know, 300 and something bucks, go. And get abort the baby. Everybody does it. You understand? So quite often, depression, the same thing too. Of course, like we said, certain things that cause depression. But also, sin will cause us to be depressed. And that's why it's important you have to find someone who's in Christ. Because even though you try many different things, but it doesn't work. And the reason why, because if you live a life of sin, there's no way you can overcome your depression. But of course, that's only one of the things that trigger depression. It doesn't mean if you're depressed, you commit sin against God. No, you also must look at that, right? You must look at that aspect. What triggers your depression? If you go to a person who's not in Christ, you think they're going to say that? Oh yeah, you have sinned against God. That's why you're depressed. No way. There's no way. You know, quite often, sisters, Guilt play a big role for sisters, right? And sometimes when, you know, as women in general, do something wrong and your guilt is there. And then it also causes depression. I mean, nowadays, even though a lot of women, their conscience is like, you know, is no longer sensitive. But most women, the reason why they don't cheat on their husband because they have too much guilt, right? They have too much guilt. But for brothers, for guys, yeah, our guilt is not so sensitive, really. Quite often, we don't really care too much, right? Okay? Any other questions? Okay, cognitive therapy. What does this mean, cognitive therapy? Aim to help the patient recognize and change negative thinking pattern that contribute to depression. Okay? Cognitive has to do with the mind, right? Do with the mind. So that's why nowadays, there's a lot of, you know, those evangelists out there. They're just using cognitive therapy. In other words, that, you know, they are very positive thinking. They don't speak the word of God. They just make people feel good about themselves. But cognitive thinking also helps. Right? To be positive about yourself. To be positive about the situation. But for us, we call faith in Jesus Christ. Right? Faith in Jesus Christ. So that's why, for example, there's, you know, people who are professional basketball players. So that one group, they don't practice a free throw at all, right? They don't practice a free throw at all. And there's one group who just think about practicing the free throw. So they go in their minds, okay, they go in the free throw line, right? They close their eyes, and they look at themselves there, and they have, you know, the basketball, and then they picture themselves shooting the basketball. And then there's another group that they really practice shooting the basketball. Which one is better? Huh? Actually, yeah, the third one is a little bit better. But even just thinking about shooting is much, much, much better than the one that doesn't do anything. Okay? So, of course, you know what is better? You can go there, you can meditate, you can think, and then you actually do it. That would be better, right? So, but both, even thinking about it, will cause. You know why? Because when you think about it, it also sends a certain kind of chemical into your brain. And quite often, it's positive. So that's why when you're always negative about yourself, guess what? You will send those chemicals in your brain that is very negative. So when you become more negative, become more negative, become more negative, guess what? You become depressed. Okay? So that's why it's important. Positive thinking is very important. But for us, that positive thinking must translate it to have faith in Jesus Christ. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? And another one, interpersonal therapy. Focus on dealing more effectively with other people. Improved relationship can reduce depressive symptoms. This is very true. Very true. Because quite often, if you and I have no social skills, and when we, you know, talk to other people and stuff, we just feel like, man, I don't know how to talk to them. And these people do not like me. That person did not like me. So when you have this kind of attitude all the time and you feel like you cannot talk to a person, you also become depressed. That's why, you know, yes, being Asian, quite often our parents, right, overprotect us. But you need to be out there, learn how to socialize. Because socializing is a very important tool that you and I must have, not only to overcome depression, but also overcome loneliness and also preaching the gospel. If you cannot talk, if you cannot communicate, then how can we preach the gospel? How can we interact with other people? It's very difficult. You know, what is the greatest fear? What is the greatest fear? What is the greatest phobia? The number one phobia. Yes?
Fear of not fitting in.
I'm sorry?
Fear of not fitting in.
Oh, the fear of not fitting in. Okay, okay. Yes?
Yes, public speaking.
Public speaking is number one fear, and death is number two. Can you imagine? You'd rather die than speak. That's what the research is saying, right? And it's very true. Because when you go up and speak, actually, you know, some people just faint, right? They cannot speak. They look at people, they faint, right? And because it's very frightening, it's very scary. But for here, when you're talking about interpersonal therapy, focus on dealing more effectively with other people, improve relationship, can reduce depressive symptoms. In other words, this is not public speaking, but to speak to others is very, very difficult. But you must train yourself to do so. Don't be afraid, right? Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Just talk. It's okay. It's okay. I realize one thing that I do not like to do is that when I buy things from the store, I do not like to go back and exchange it. I just feel it's not manly to do that. You know, you buy things, you change. And I always use my nieces and my wife to go and exchange it back, right? And even, like, if I don't go and do it, and then, I mean, if they don't do it for me, and then I won't do it, I just feel like, oh, man, go back and exchange. Like, they ask you, where's the receipt? Right? And this and that, I just feel, oh, so bothersome, right? And I remember the last time my niece bought a television, and it was like a 50-inch television. And then in Costco, they have another television which is 65 inches, and the price almost the same. So she asked me, because she works, she asked me, okay, Uncle, can you go take the TV back, you know, to Walmart? I'm like, oh, no, right? No. Right? Because in the daytime, I have some free time. So I went there first. She lost the receipt. That is the worst, right? She lost the receipt. So when I went there, I just feel so horrible, like phobia, right? I don't want to do it, right? But I just want to do her a favor, right? So I went there. And then the lady asked me, oh, where's your receipt? And where this? I was like, oh, I don't have the receipt, but you guys should have it in your computer, this and that, right? And the lady, she said, no, if you don't have a receipt, you cannot take it back, even though we have it printed, this and that. And then there's a lady from Hawaii, right? She's from Hawaii. And then I know, because when she talk, her accent is Hawaiian accent, right? And all of a sudden, I just talk, hey, auntie. You know, I just, you know, in Hawaii, you call everybody auntie and uncle, right? Hey, I say, Auntie, how you doing? This and that. Like, oh, you're from Hawaii. She's like, yeah. I say, yeah, I go there 4 months out of the year. This and that. And after I say that, she took care of everything. Yep, she went to the back and she printed out the receipt and this and that. And I say, oh, thank God, right? Thank God, right? But, you know, sometimes if I didn't take an opportunity to talk to her, then everything would be very, very difficult, right? Very, very difficult. So that's why they're kind of social skills. Even though I'm not afraid to talk to anybody, I just feel when you do, like, coupon, I cannot do coupon. Like, it's not a manly thing to do, you know? But my wife, she does not. When we go to, we never gone to a restaurant and pay full price. Most of the time, because she has coupon, that's why, excuse me, that's why we go. But for me, like, when she pull out the coupon, I want to go to the bathroom, you know? Really. I don't know, it's just inside of me. It's like that. So I can understand sometime when you and I cannot speak to others, when we're afraid, it's real that phobia inside of us, but we must overcome it. So have bad relationship with others. So for us to, why do you think we're afraid to talk to others? Why? What do you guys think? Sisters? Why? Yes. Yes, exactly. Rejection. Rejection is the biggest fear why we don't talk to others. Because when you talk to others, feel like, oh, maybe that person, you know, doesn't want to talk to me, right? Doesn't want to listen to me. Maybe what I say, they think I'm weird, right? And all this kind of stuff. But who cares? Who cares? Just talk already. Eileen is good. Eileen, she talked to everybody. Yeah, she have no phobia in talking. That's for sure. Okay. Any question before we go to this? Okay, we don't have too much time. Time goes by so quickly. Among many things that can make people depressed, there are such things as guilt for sin committing in the past. For me, this is so crucial as a chosen people of God. You know, quite often, I'm a very joyful and very happy person. But I know one thing. When I sin against God, whatever little it is, how big it is, I can never feel peaceful and joyful inside my heart. And not only that, sometimes when I sin against God, I feel this anger, right? Because I have anger issues before, right? Would overtake me. Nothing else really. People can curse at me. People can swear at me nowadays. I don't really get angry. I don't really get depressed, right? This and that. But when I sin against God, really, there's a time that I feel so sad. I feel so depressed because I'm disappointing God. So guilt for sin committing in the past. Make sure you take care of that. Okay? Make sure you take care of that. If you don't take care of that, then it's very hard for you to be joyful. So pray and repent to God. So quite often for me, when I pray, I always ask God, right? Every day I pray, to forgive me for my sin from yesterday and today and tomorrow that I'm going to commit, right? Because of this, then I never miss one, right? The cycle, right? If tomorrow, then I pray for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So at least twice I ask for forgiveness for the sin, right? So I always pray like this. Because if you commit sin and you have this kind of guilty feeling inside of you, it's hard to be joyful. And for us, for TJC members, I think this is the biggest part why you and I feel sorrow and sadness and depressed. Okay? Concern regarding one's relationship with God in the present. Okay. So not only what we did in the past, but also what we're doing now in the present. That's what makes us feel sad. Really, the first day you guys were here, we had open ceremony, right? I look at your faces, actually, a lot of you are very sad looking. And you seem like the whole world is on you, right? But these last couple of days, all I hear is laughing, right? Right? What do you guys do? You play a lot of video games here? No. What do? You're at the beach, something, swimming or something? No. You're here in the chapel, pray and listen to the word of God. Why it changed you so much? Because actually, first you get rid of your previous sin. And what you do now is good. And that's why you feel joyful. You know, this kind of joyfulness, even you go to a therapist for 5 years, quite often you don't get rid of it. Why? Because sometimes it's not only the physical aspect of life or emotional aspect of life. It has to do with our relationship with God. That is the spirit. So that's why we remember, right? Not only what we did in the past, but also what's going on right now in our relationship with God. If you and I are righteous, if you and I, you know, holy, I'm telling you, that person be a very joyful person. Next one. Fear for what might happen in the future. You know, quite often, a lot of people who are depressed because they worry about tomorrow. Really? It's interesting. Nothing happened yet, but they worry so much they become depressed that that thing might happen. For example, for you, right, for you guys, quite often you become so anxious, right? And so nervous. Why? Because you're afraid you're not going to get into a good college. Right? And nothing happened yet, but that's what you're thinking. That's what's going on in your mind. So in other words, that you bring whatever in the future to the present and bring everything from the past into the present, and that's how you become depressed. Of course, we plan for the future. We do our best. But our Lord Jesus Christ said, don't worry about tomorrow. What you should eat or what should you drink. But the problem is that's not the worries that you and I have. We are so blessed by God. We're not worried what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to put on. But all the things that we worry is beyond basic needs. If it's on basic needs, just rely on God. It's okay. Really, even if you, for example, even if you work at McDonald's, right? There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you're a good person, a holy person, a righteous person, it's okay. But of course, if you're so lazy and stuff like that, you end up at McDonald's, that's not good, right? If you give your best and you're not that smart and you work at McDonald's, it's fine. Move to Dallas, because Dallas, the houses are very cheap, right? You can buy like a two-bedroom condo for like $70,000, $80,000. You can work at McDonald's and pay for your mortgage. It's fine with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Or you can move to Vermont. You can buy like, you know, 100 acres of land for like $10,000. Go there. Don't go there. You get depressed because nobody's there. In Vermont, nobody's there. So there's only two types of people who live in Vermont, drunk and those who are more drunk. Because in the wintertime, it's so much snow, right? So much snow. So they stuck like 6 months inside the house and they just drink. Right. No, that's what happened, yeah. Okay, so fear what might happen. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. God will take care of it. Really, think about this. And you must really be convicted and have faith in this. Don't just say, oh, I'm not worried about tomorrow. Meanwhile, you're so worried, right? It really doesn't matter what college you go to. If I have to do it over, you know what I want to become? I want to become a plumber or electrician. Go to 2 years trade school. You know how much they charge the plumber? They came to my house for like 45 minutes. They charged me $425, okay, for plumbing. Then you get to look at his butt crack too, right, when he's there. That's how much you have to pay for a plumber. Why not, right? But the thing is, quite often we want this famous name of maybe a plumber, but no, we're talking about making something to survive, right? But make sure you have faith, whatever you're doing, you have good faith. Be a holy person. Be a righteous person. That's what's more important. If you get 3 PhDs, you become so proud, then you feel like no one is good as you. What is the point? You're bad off to be that sinner and could not lift his head up and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, than the Pharisee who give all that he, 10% all they had and fast twice a week, right? So really, we must retrain our minds. Yes, being Asian, quite often our parents always tell us, study, 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 study. Of course, don't be lazy. You do your best in studying. I mean, I always tell my nieces, your goal to in school, get all C's. In college, your goal is get all C's. Make sure you get all A's in Christ. And this is very important. Why? Because if you get all A's in Christ, you think Christ is going to allow you to get C's in school? For me, it's impossible. Okay? And that's why I tell all my nieces, don't worry too much. But all those kind of stuff. I mean, a good example, look at my niece, the one that went to Brown, right? She's, you know, she did engineer. I don't know exactly what kind of engineering she did, but she did engineering, and then after that, she went to Brown for a master, one-year master, right? She graduated. She got a great job right now. Right now, she's working in Dallas, and she's, you know, helping to build the runway for the airplane at the airports. And she enjoys it so much, right? Why? Because she always put Jesus Christ first. Even though she went to Rhode Island, right, for college, but she take the train back to Boston for services every single week for 5 years. For 5 years. And no matter how much test she have, and, you know, she always get up like 5:30 o'clock in the morning, pray and read God's word. Never miss. It doesn't matter how tired she is. And that's what she did for 5 years in college. You know what? God bless her. God bless her so much. Not the blessing, I'm not talking about only material things. The kind of peace, the kind of joy that you have when you do what is right in the eyes of God. So really, I implore all of you, really, study hard. You must, don't say that you know, Pastor Vu say don't need to study in school, no. You study hard and do your best. That's all you can do. But you know what? In Christ, you're doing better. You know, my wife, when she was in college, she went to BC, right? And BC is pretty tough school. Her senior year in college, you know, she put so much time in serving God. And, of course, she put also a lot of time in school. But because, you know, busy, so much busy in church and stuff like that, her senior year, she got all A's in everything she does. God just allowed her brain to function much better. And that is a true testimony. Don't afraid that, okay, I always tell my niece this, right? When you're in college, you have an exam the next day. So what do? You just, you just study, 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 study. You have no time to read the Bible. You have no time to pray. I say, don't do that. Why? Because if you take you 5 hours to study, you kneel down and pray for half an hour, that 5 hours study is like 15 hours of study. Because God will give you the wisdom to do things. And even you study, you know. I remember a couple times that she studied and she didn't have time to study everything, you know, because one problem, Indian problem, it just take a long time, right? But, for example, if she have 10 questions that she need to do and to practice before the exam, maybe she finish only 4. And then when the professor, you know, whatever question he asks on exam, guess what? If he asks 3 questions, it's a 3 out of 4 questions she study. Come on. It cannot be a coincidence, you understand? So that's why, really, you must put God first, really. You put God first, and then God will take care of all these things. I mean, what is the possibility that 3 questions that she study out of 10, the professor will ask in the exam? The probability is very, very low. But God take care of it, right? So that's why don't worry too much. We always worry about this, worry about that. One thing that we should always worry about is our relationship with God, okay? Actually, God, he addresses the problem of sin through his death on a cross. We must realize this. Even though he died 2,000 years ago, but his blood is still flowing. So when you and I sin against God, we must repent. We must repent. And it teaches us how to pray and maintain a healthy relationship with God. Yes. You know, quite often, I always tell parents this. When your children are younger, and they always want to talk to you, right? They always want to talk to you. And they say, Mommy, Daddy, you know, when they come after school, this, what does Mommy and Daddy do? You see when the kids do that. How does Mommy and Daddy answer? You're laughing, sister. What do they do? Huh? Yeah, they're like, good, Mommy's busy, right? You know, yeah, go ahead, go to play with your toys, right? And then what happened when you guys get older, when your mom want to talk to you? Yeah, whatever, right? You do exactly the same thing what your mom or your parents do to you when you're young. So I always tell parents this. So when parents, especially when we are young age, that's the time you must take the opportunity to talk to your children. Develop a kind of relationship. You know, my nieces, when I punished them, when I grounded them, you know what is kind of punishment I do for them? I mean, do for their punishment? You know what it is? Huh? What you say? Sorry. Yes. I tell him you cannot talk to uncle. Right? Many of you, your parents say that, he's like, oh, thank God. Right? Actually, for me, why? Because I developed such good relationship with all my nieces. When uncle say, don't talk to uncle, actually, they have a lot of suffering. Because every day they want to talk to uncle, really. Even now, my nieces just text me. It's like, uncle, we miss you so much, right? So when you come back, we're all going to massage your feet. That's what they said, right? I didn't request for it, but that's what they say, because that's what I like to do, right? Massage my feet, right? But that's what they say. But when I ground them or punch them, you cannot talk to uncle. That's it. You know what it's like? They feel so much. The same thing with God, right? So with God, when we're talking about, look, communication, right? Pray and maintain healthy relationship with God. When you and I sin against God, when we kneel down and pray, we don't feel God. Why? Because that is your punishment. In the Old Testament, who can own, in the Old Testament, right, when God ascended to Mount Sinai, how many people can talk to God? Only one. And what happened to the rest of the people? They're all scared and frightened, right? Moses, no, Moses, don't let us talk to him. You go talk to him, right? So that's why the sin with Adam and Eve, and they sin against God, right? They hit themselves. They don't want to talk to God. So the same thing for us. When we sin against God, and we don't repent, then the second thing to do, we cannot maintain a relationship because we cannot be close to God when we have sin. That's what it is. Because sin is the wall blocking us for a relationship with God. So please repent, right? Repent. He also gave us hope and promise concerning the future through his resurrection and ultimate return. Really think about this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, talking about the inheritance, right? There's four descriptions of this inheritance. You know, anybody know what this four description is? The inheritance? First, it's incorruptible, right? Second, let's not fade away. Third is what? Cannot be defiled. Fourth, what is reserved in heaven. So this is the promise that God gave us. That's why he said, look, I'm going to a place and I will come back for you. And where I am, I also want you to be. That is eternal life. So what is there so bad in this life? Really, think about this. What is so bad in this life that you and I should be depressed? What don't you guys have that you have to be depressed? There's nothing. Really, there's nothing at all. But the problem is when we are depressed because we sin against God. We have not repented for our sin. And we don't have good relationship with God. And you and I must reflect upon this, okay? I'm sorry, I'm going to go over a little bit more, so just try to finish this quickly. Jesus also provides, you know, positive cognitive therapy. Cognitive therapy seeks to help one recognize and change negative thinking. Patterns that contribute to depression. Samples, suggestions include, don't set yourself difficult goals or take on a great deal of responsibility. So in other words, don't go back home and say, I'm going to pray 2 hours a day. If you know you cannot do it, you understand? What happened? You're going to pray 2 hours a day and then you cannot do it, and then what happened?
Then you're just going to stop praying.
Exactly, you're going to stop praying because, man, 2 hours a day, no way I can do. And then you don't do, you feel so guilty. Oh, I told God I'm going to pray 2 hours. No, set goals that you can reach. That you can reach. This is very important. If you set goals that you cannot reach and then it becomes a big disappointment, then you feel you're a failure. If you're a failure, you're a loser, and then you become depressed. Set reality, right? Just like if if you're a jumper, right? If you want to do high jump, right? And no matter how hard you try, you only can jump 6 feet. That's all you can jump. That's what you have to do. You cannot say, I'm going to jump 6'1". 6 feet and 1 inches. You cannot. Why? Because the minute you do that, you won't even do the 6 feet. You understand? Because you're trying to do the 6'1", you're failing, then you won't even do the 6 feet. The same thing. Really, I recommend when you go back home, in the morning, you pray 20 minutes. and read the Bible about half an hour. That's reasonable. At nighttime before you go to bed, do exactly the same thing. You read 20 minutes and pray about half an hour. So 40 minutes of prayer a day, an hour of reading the Bible, that's not much at all, right? You do that first. It's more important to consistently doing it. Then you pray 1 hour, 2 hours, one day, 2 hours, then the whole week you don't do anything. Okay? Actually, you know, if you know bodybuilders, right? How many times bodybuilders eat a day, average? Yes, about 6 to 8 times. And do they eat like big portion? No. They eat very small portion. Why do they eat such small portion? Why? Yes. So it can digest faster and then they can burn it much faster, right? But they're always full. Do you understand? So throughout the whole day, they're always full. But they burn it much faster. And then that boy, when they burn it faster, it becomes, you know, whatever they need, nutrition they need, it goes through their muscle. So the same thing with prayer. You don't need to pray one time, 2 hours. No, it's not necessary. But through the day, you pray to God to sustain you. When you do that, this means you communicate with God throughout the whole day. And you will feel good, you will feel strong, you will feel healthier, okay? And sometimes you pray 2 hours, it's very difficult. Why? Because physically you are weak, right? And then because when you feel weak, your knees hurting you, your back is hurting you, and then you don't want to pray anymore. That defeats the whole purpose. That defeats the whole purpose. Even you pray 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon, even 10 minutes at night, it's fine. Half an hour a day. It's pretty good, right? It's pretty good. Then if you want to do half an hour at one time a day, then it's difficult, right? Difficult. Okay? Next one. Break large tasks into small ones. Set some priorities. Do what you can as you can, right? It's true. You know, quite often we feel like, oh, you know, there's so much thing I need to do. Hey, just break it one at a time before you know it. Wow, I finished all of it already. For example, you know, when I tell my nephew, hey, you vacuum the house. When he say, uncle, the whole house? I'm like, yes. Then he's like, oh. Then what I tell him, hey, vacuum that room. He's all excited, right? Just that room? I say, don't worry. When you finish, I'll tell you what else to do, right? So you go and vacuum the room. He's all excited. I say, okay, do the other room. Right? And then in his mind, it's not too much. Before he knew it, he finished the whole house already. But if I tell him, you vacuum the whole house? Oh, the whole house. He just vacuumed that room. Then for him, right? Remember Pastor TJ one time, he said, oh, we're going to pray 30 minutes, right? Then he said, oh, no, we're going to pray 28 minutes. Because he said 28 minutes sounds much better than 30 minutes, and it's true. It's very true. You know, when you go buy a car, right, it's never like $30,000. Sometimes it's $29.99. But you're like, oh, it's 20, right? But it's $30,000. But your mind just tricks you like that, right? So now would be, you know, be creative, right? Prioritize stuff, and whatever little things that you can do, you do it. Before you know it, you finish it already. The same thing with exercising. Sometimes you think, oh, I want to be in great shape. I want to go run 10 miles a day, right? And this and that. Then before you know it, you'll be sleeping every day. That's all you're doing. But say, no, let me just go run maybe half a mile. Even start walking. Before you know, you build your endurance. Before you know, you'll be running 10 miles. As simple as that. And that's what I was sharing with my niece. My niece, in the beginning, she started to run like, you know, half mile, 1 mile. Before she knew, she was running 14 miles, no problem. Then she's like, wow, I can't believe I can do this. And I said, I couldn't believe it either, but, you know. But she did, right? She did. Okay? So remember that. Now, Jesus stressed similar principle, right? Remind us of God's providential love and care. Come on, you and I, we are God's children. God will bless us everything and take care of us. Okay? Teaching us where to place our priority in life. And it's true. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. This is so important. I hope that every single one of you really put this into your minds, into your hearts, and have faith that this is true. You put God first in your life, everything else will be added to you. Remember Job, right? Job. First, the Bible describes he's blameless, upright, fear God and shun evil, right? And after they describe, he has 7 sons and 3 daughters. And after that, they describe that he have all his possessions. So the Bible said, no one is like him in the east. No one is like him in the east. But God said to Satan, no one is like my servant Job. He's blameless, upright, fear God and shun evil, and no one is like him on the face of the earth. Did God say Job was great because he had 7 sons and 3 daughters? No. Because of all the possession? No. But you know what? Because his relationship with God was so good, the blameless, upright, fear God and shun evil, then God blessed him with beautiful children. God blessed him also with all the material things. The same thing with Isaac, right? What does he do every time he goes to a new place? What does he do? The first thing he did. Huh? I'm sorry? What does he do? Yes, he built an altar. This means his relationship with God must come first, right? Then what else did he do? After he built an altar. Huh? He pitched a tent. That is his family life, right? Come second. Quite often, us, we always go and put the tent first, right? And the altar later. And sometimes if we build a tent, we must be thirsty. And then what? The third thing he does is what? He digs a well. This means your livelihood, right, is last. Because he does this, every time he digs a well, right, all the other people dig a well. Is there water? No. Why is he the one that digs the well, then there's water? Because he built altar first. Because then he built pitch a tent first. Quite often, you and I just do exactly the opposite. We seek the things of this world first, then our family, then God. You know what? It's not going to work too well. That's how it is. You put God first, your family second, your job third. You can see God will bless you abundantly. That's why seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Everything else be added to you. You have that kind of faith, God will bless your life. Okay? I'm sorry, let me go a couple more minutes. He revealed also our limitation, really. Even though I'm a pretty strong guy, and I feel like I'm still, pretty healthy, but I just have a little sand in my eye. Even sometimes my, the eyebrows, the here in the eyebrows, the eyelash. Okay, eyelash, I'm sorry, eyelash. Go into my eye, I cry like a baby. Right? Go put the water in there and this and that, right? And I'm all crying. Both my eyes are crying, right? That's how limited we are. Really. You don't think all those muscle guys and stuff, they're all tough. Actually, when they have a little cold, they're all crying. Please make me some soup, Really. It's like that. So we have to understand, you and I are human beings. We are very limited. Right? Don't put so much pressure and so much stress on ourselves. Take it easy. Right? Take it easy. Live a healthy, righteous life and holy life. That's what, that's the whole meaning of living this in this world. Okay? Next one, quickly. He also points out the kind of selfish service can provide true joy. It's very true. Serving God will bring you the greatest joy of all time. Even though sometimes you cannot understand why, but actually, for some reason, God just gives you that joy. That God is long-suffering, willing to forgive and comfort the downhearted. The parable of the prodigal son, right? You can see that. For us, sometimes we're very tough on ourselves, but God, he's a very gracious God. We return back to him, we come back to him, and don't do too much, too much be stressful. Interpersonal therapy focuses on disturbed personal relationship that both cause or exacerbate the depression, right? Our relationship with God is very important, right? Jesus addressed interpersonal relationship. Our relationship with God must come first. Our relationship with a fellow man, that includes our family, comes second. Okay? Jesus strengthened interpersonal relationship. His death and his teaching reconciles back to God and men. Teach us how to love God and one another, right? All this thing is so positive for us. his church to be a family, provide strength and encouragement, even bearing one another's burden. That's pretty much it. Okay. So I really hope that all of you really take this to heart, right? At your age, first, you have no family to take care of. You have no mortgage. You have no bills. Why you guys feel sad? The reason most of us are sad is because we play too much video games. So unconsciously we know that we are sinning against God. Or we doing things that we're not supposed to do, we're sinning against God, and that's why we become depressed, become sad, become lonely. So let's change the kind of mentality. Okay? So God bless all of you. And hopefully, you know, you continue to truly cultivate yourself and really have that kind of thankful heart and joyful heart and to glorify God's name. Let's kneel down and pray together.